Welcome to one of the most listened to music news podcasts in the world, SGNP, with your host, Darren Sutherland. Join us as we talk with industry leaders, artists, and entertainers about their faith, family, and careers. This is information you will not find anywhere else on radio, web, or in a magazine, but only firsthand on SGNP.
SGNP is brought to you by Toccoa Falls College in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. For more information on TFC, call 706-886-7299 or visit them online at tfc.edu. That's tfc.edu. Since 1907, TFC, glorifying God through seeking and developing leaders who will impact the world for Jesus Christ.
And welcome once again to SGNP, Darren Sutherland and my co-host, who's back in the gospel music world now after his video or his Facebook Live of 54,000 participants, 54,000 plus now, Arthur Rice. Arthur, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Full-time podcaster, part-time singer here.
Hey, you know what? I watched y'all the other night. That was a good little program y'all put on. Congratulations
That was fun. You know, we kind of just put that just kind of off the cuff. We kind of tried to pick some different songs. You know, that the only two videos that we had posted were kind of right at the end of our tour. Yeah. And so a lot of times by the end of the tour, you know, we kind of do some of the same songs. So I tried to pick some different songs that we hadn't sung in a while. And just having the guys talk, and I think people enjoyed that. I think that was one of the biggest comments I think we got that everybody got to share.
As I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm going to pick on you just a little bit because that's what I do.
Yeah.
But as I'm sitting there watching it, I could not help but think what Hamill would have said to you for wearing that purple striped shirt, okay?
Well, it had more than one strike. So.
I know. I'm messing with you. But needless to say, man, you know, y'all did a great job. And, you know, as I watch you guys, and I'm not just saying this because you're my friend and you're my co-host and we talk on a regular basis. But when you break down the four parts of what you guys are doing, I mean, the tenor, the bass, the lead, the baritone, y'all are as solid as any group I've seen in a long, long time. And I mean that. And I'm not just saying that. You're solid Southern gospel through and through. That's what you do. And I think your best days are, if you guys will stay together a long, long time, I think your best days are coming. I really, really do.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, because you're gelling. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, goes back to, you know, as much as we sing together and you know, the guys are just utmost professionals. I mean, they, you know, like I said, that was the first time we sang in 2 months.
Right.
We hadn't been together. Yes. First time we were together in 2 months. So, just a little over 2 months. So, but it was fun. I had a blast. I don't know if anybody else enjoyed it, but I did.
Well,
and fun.
I certainly enjoyed watching you guys and singing along and having a good time and commenting and all that kind of good stuff. Hey, today we're starting something over the next couple of 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to be fun, and it's called Where Are They Now? And we're going to talk to gospel music artists that you may have seen on the cover of the Singing News. They may have been, you know, had number one hits, and they may have done different things, but they're not really in the industry anymore. They've left the industry. They may still sing, but not on the same, let's say, national notoriety that they once did. And we're going to start today's show out with Earl Galloway of the Galloways. Arthur, do you remember? I can remember the first time I saw Earl. Do you remember the first time you ever met Earl and those guys?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were a fixture, you know.
you know what? And I think you will hear this in Earl's voice and in Earl's story when he talks to us in a little bit. Earl just didn't take no. He just started singing and then moved from Arkansas to Nashville. And I don't want to steal his story, but they just kept on going, and he, you know, got some good songs right off the bat. I mean, I remember this because I was in radio at the time. They sent out an 8-minute radio single. Okay. Now, who sends out an 8-minute radio single, Arthur?
Not many. Not
I mean, you're a producer. I mean, you produce albums. If somebody said to you, we're going to produce it, we want this single, and it's 8 minutes and 17 seconds long, and this is what we're going to release to radio, what would you say, Arthur?
That's tough. That's a tough play. It really is. You know, we sent out one a few years ago that was almost six. It was almost 6 minutes, and we really struggled over that, you know, because, man, I just don't know if radio station's going to play it. It just takes, you know, it takes up a lot of time, it's two songs, really.
Yeah. And the song When I Went Up to Heaven, and we'll play it during this show, is an awesome, awesome song that Earl and them done. And then they follow that up with a song that was about 2 minutes long, Somebody Say Amen. I mean, just real simple. Hey, if you hadn't checked us out on Facebook, do so, Southern Gospel News Podcast. 17,000 of your closest friends are there, and they're always making comments, and we're having a good time there and putting stuff out. You can check us out on SGN Podcast. Or you can always go to the web and find us on the World Wide Web at Southern Gospel News Podcast. 109 shows. Today marks 110. Last week, we did the best of. We took a week off, and we had the best of Marty Rayburn and with Shenandoah. And a lot of listeners listening to that for the first time last week, so thank you for that. But you can always go back and find old shows to listen to for the first time on that website. There's a lot of them. Arthur, what's been some of your favorite ones that we've done in the past that you would encourage people to listen to?
Well, you got to go back and we just did the second part of Squires, you know.
Yeah.
Those have been two of my favorites, I think. Just got to go back and check those. Check the first one, especially. And the second one, just a continuation of greatness.
Yep, with Squire Parson, a living legend, as our friend Greg Fox says, the greatest of all time. So, Squire Parson's a great one. There's other great ones. And there's great stories. And just to let you know, guys, Arthur and I very rarely plan the questions that we're going to ask. These are conversations. These aren't interviews. This is just like we're sitting on our front porch talking, and that's what makes these podcasts good, I feel like. And if nobody else enjoys them, I know you and I do, and, it is what it is. It is what it is. Yeah. Well, let's get a hold of our friend Earl Galloway. We'll take a break. We'll be right back on SGNP with Earl Galloway and Arthur Rice and the whole team.
This is Josh Singletary with Tribute Quartet, and you're listening to SGNP.
Hey, this is Darren, and I'm here for my buddy Mike Lindell in MyPillow. That's right, MyPillow. I got to tell you a little secret, and it's a true story. The other day I'm laying in a bed, I looked at Mary and I said, I'm going to get me some new pillows today. She said, what do you need with new pillows? You got them. I said, I got one that's decent. And I didn't know which one it was. I mean, I knew which one it was, and I pulled the cover off of it, and it was my pillow. The rest of them were these ones that we bought from TJ Maxx or Target or Walmart or somewhere that just had worn out their welcome. And you know what, guys? I feel like I needed new pillows. And she said, well, why don't you call MyPillow because you like the one you got there and tell them what you're looking for and they'll help you out. You know what I called? And guess what? They helped me out. They asked me what size I was. They asked me how I slept. Did I sleep on my back or on my side or on my stomach? What felt right? Feathers or, you know, blah, 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 foam. They asked me all these questions. More questions than I ever dreamed about a pillow. And I got my new MyPillow in the mail, and I've slept right. You want that change in your life? It's real simple. 1-800-338-2330. 1-800-338-2330. Use the code word SGNP. That's right, the code word SGNP. And tell them you heard about this special offer. And when you use that code, you'll get a great discount from the folks at MyPillow. I use MyPillow. You should too. 1-800-338-2330. 2330. Use the code SGNP. MyPillow, the official pillow and sleep provider of Southern Gospel News Podcast.
Long ago in Grandma's day, everybody knew how to pray. They'd stay on their knees till they felt a touch from a mighty strong hand. Then they'd stand up and say, I felt the burdens roll away. If you hear and you understand, somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. If you've been blessed by God, let me see you lift your hands. Joy bells in your heart start ringing when the praises you start singing. Shout out and then again, somebody say amen. If the Lord's been good to you, if you want to praise Him anew, it's time you've got to let Him know. Go ahead and lift your hands. If the saints will offer praise, it'll make the devil flee away. If you hear and you understand, somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. If you've been blessed by God, let me see you lift your hands. Joy bells in your heart start ringing when the praises you start singing. Shout it out and then again, somebody say amen.
Southern Gospel News Podcast. Darren Sutherland, my co-host, the president of the Southern Gospel Music Association, full-time podcast host and part-time singer, Arthur Rice with me. And on the line with us today, he's you know what, Arthur, I'm going to say this. Back in the early 2000s, he was one of my favorites. And today, talking to him today, he's still one of my favorite people out there, and I love talking to him. I love his story. Earl Galloway of the Galloways. Earl, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, Darren, I appreciate you. You and Arthur both. I'm doing good. Good to talk to you.
Well, you know, Earl, we see you on Facebook every once in a while, and a lot of other people do. If they want to be friends with you, just join the crowd. You guys had a great run with the Galloways. You're not singing much, traveling full time like you once were. But
no, we were calling this.
Where are they now? What are you doing now, Earl?
Okay. Well, we come off the road. I think it was probably 2009, something like that. And I started helping Candy Christmas. You know Candy Christmas, Candy Hempel.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started helping her feed the homeless. Under the Jefferson Street Bridge, you know, there in downtown Nashville. And we had started helping her along, you know, but while we were still singing. And then, you know, when everything, the economy kind of tanked in 2008, we decided we'd probably just come off the road in 2009. And I started helping her feed the homeless every Tuesday night. And it was wonderful. And she still has that ministry. It's a wonderful ministry.
No doubt.
And now... I live down here in Florida where it's all warm year round, Darren and Arthur, and I love it, you know. I love it all the time, and I do this little old Facebook thing. I actually started it, I just got on one time, and I thought, I don't even know what this Facebook Live stuff is, because I'm not real technical, you know, when it comes to this, and I punched the button, and I thought it was a recording, but it was actually live, you know. And so I was going along there, and I'd done it probably two or three times. And then the next thing I knew, Kirk Talley, you know Kirk Talley.
Yeah.
He got on there and started. He said, "Your nose looks big from that angle. Turn the camera." And then he said, "Your playing is awful. You need to learn to play the piano. Go home." And he just started heckling me. And then the next thing I knew, old Randy Perry, you know the Perrys,
yeah,
Randy. He started tuning in, and that booger, he started chiming in, taking Kirk's side. And I thought, Lord, I better get me some people on my side, you know. But they just keep a going and a going and a going, and we just have a good time with it every Monday night. I call it my Monday night sing along, and I do old church hymns, you know, because I that's just me. I like old church hymns.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I sing out of an old songbook called Heavenly Highway Hymns. That's what, whenever I was growing up, we sung out of, you know. But it's just a good place for stress relief for all of us, I guess. They all heckle me. People think, Lord, they all hate each other, but we don't. We're all good friends, you know, yeah. And we just have a good time. I remember whenever I was growing up, I tuned into Sanford and Son and All in the Family and the Jeffersons, and they, Sanford, he'd call that boy Big Dummy and all that kind of, you know, we just thought that was fun.
Yeah.
And so I just find this is fun, you know. But growing up, see, I didn't grow up in church, y'all.
No.
I didn't, you know. I didn't even know, I didn't know Southern gospel music was a thing.
Really?
To be honest with you. No, I didn't have a clue. I was raised as an only child.
Okay.
And I had a brother and sister that burned in a fire before I was born. My brother was 12 and my sister was 22 months. So it was just me growing up.
Hmm.
And mom and dad never took me to church or nothing. But my mom liked gospel music. And where I grew up, there's two or three little old churches around. And once a month, they'd have a singing, you know. And, people would just go from the community, and they'd get up there, and they'd say, "Hey, Bill, why don't you get up here and lead a song and get you a piano player?" And so Bill, he'd find him a piano player in the crowd, and they'd get up there, and he'd stand in front, and he'd say, "Turn to page 203, Amazing Grace." So everybody turned to page 203, Amazing Grace. And really,
I thought just, Amazing Grace was page 57.
Not in Heavenly Highway Hymns. But... anyway, he'd get up there and stand and sing it, you know, and we'd all just, they called it leading a song.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought gospel music was. And it was probably in the, I don't know, it must have been 81 or so, 80, 81. I don't know when it was really, that I learned that there was actually groups that sang. And I'd never heard of the gospel, the Happy Goodmans or nobody like that. You know, I guess the Henthams was probably the first group I really heard of, you know.
Mm.
So I didn't know nothing about it.
Earl,
but I loved it.
Yeah. Earl, you know what's always been amazing to me, and I've heard your story and I've heard you tell it from time to time, but y'all were just singing around the house, and then all of a sudden y'all decided to do a single and send it out to radio. Next thing you know, you're moving to Nashville, kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies moved to moved to California is the place y'all to be. Y'all thought Nashville, so you just picked up and moved. I mean, isn't that how it went? Did.
You know, I went through this time and I got the singing news, and of course I thought that was the most wonderful thing. I love that magazine, you know, I'd flip through that thing. And so I went 2 weeks and I fasted and prayed when we first started singing. I did, all I had to eat and drink was juice and water. That's all I had for 2 weeks. And I had an old waterbed, and I took that magazine and I laid it on the waterbed, flipped it over to the chart, and I said, "Lord, you're going to have to show me how to do this. I'd like to put my songs on this chart and build me a career out of this." And I said, I just need you to help me figure out how to do that. And I didn't even know how the people got their songs played on the radio or nothing, you know.
Yeah.
And so I started doing research. And then I took and I opened every page of it. And I put my hand on every one of them groups. Arthur, I put my hand on all y'all's groups, you know, because I didn't know any of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Father, I don't have a big old family. I never have had, but I sure would like a big family. And would you some way create me a family out of these groups? And I go through every page, and I call their names, the Neelans, you know, I call their names, the Tallies. Every one of them, I called their names, and I said, Lord, make them my friends, like make them like my family. Well, we sent that song out, and the first rattle out of the box, I was driving down the road, and my radio promoter called and said, your song has debuted. And I said, oh, Lord, what does that mean? He said, well, you're on the chart. I said, oh, and I pulled over, and she said, your song debuted at number 78. Of course, they only printed the top 80, you know. but you know what, Darren?
Yeah.
I pulled over to the side of the road, and I bellered and bawled like an old cow. It was a blessing to me because God had come through for me, and he answered my prayer.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long after that Charlene was working in at a car dealership, and they told her, said, you're missing too much work. You're going to either have to sing or work. And so she called me, and she said, that's what they told me. And she said, and I told them I picked singing. And I thought, oh, sweet God, what are we going to do? And so I called Becky Simmons, and I said, Becky, if you've got any scrap dates that people can't get to, or what, I don't care what it is, I'll take it. And she said, well, I don't normally do that. And I said, I'm begging you. Here's what's happened. I told her. Well, it wasn't two or three days later, she called me. She said, I've got a date in Jacksonville, Alabama. It's only one date, and it's going to pay you $500. I said, I will take it. And she said, you're going to drive all the way down there for $500? And I said, sure am. And we went down done that date, and I come by her house, Darren. Arthur, this is the truth. Come by her house on a Monday to pay her the commission on it. She said, oh, you don't owe me no commission. I said, nope, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it right. I owe you. You booked me. And I pulled up at her house. And I'm saying, we lived in a 14 by 76 mobile home that we stuffed towels up in the door to keep the snow from coming in. And I pulled up at that house in Brentwood, Tennessee, Arthur, and I'm telling you what, that's the most beautiful house I'd ever laid eyes on in my life, and it was huge. And I got out of that car, and standing in the driveway, I said, oh, Father God, I would love to have a house like this one of these days. And we went in, paid her. And she kept giving us a little dates along. And then all of a sudden, she called me one day, and she said, Earl, she said, I'm selling my house. Would you like to buy it? And I said, well, I sure would, but I can't afford nothing like that. She said, I'll help you. She said, I'll book you dates. And I said, I don't have good credit. I don't know. Nobody's going to approve me. And she said, you come to Nashville. And we went over to a mortgage company, talked to them. And that was on a Friday. And on Monday, my phone rang, and the lady said, Mr. Galloway, she said, you're approved for the loan on your home. I said, what? And she said, you're approved. I said, did you run that under Earl Galloway? Did you check it? And she said, I sure did. And I said, are you sure? She said, pack your stuff. You're moving to Brentwood, Tennessee. And God give me the very house I stood and asked, oh God, I'd like to have one like. You know, that's the God we serve. He's just so good. And yep. I moved into that big old house, and I said, I want to try to create me a family, you know, a big family. And so I got to hosting parties at my house because it's a big, we had about 5,000 square feet, and I had a big old huge living room and everything. And I got to inviting Les Butler and Rick Shelton and the Steels and, oh, Lord, I don't know who all come to my house. Judy Nealon, Ann Downey, Faye Spear, Brian and Allison, all of them. We'd have parties at the house once a month. And I done that to create me a family, and God blessed me with that, you know. It was wonderful.
Nice.
And I didn't even know what the gospel music stuff was. But in 19, I think it was, I don't know if it was 87 or 97. I don't remember when it was. But the Southern Gospel Music Guild had something called the Spark of Flame Awards or Hearts of Flame Awards or something like that.
Yeah, Hearts of Flame.
Hearts of Flame. And I drove down there. Lord, it was at TBN. I didn't even know what a TBN was, you know. And we pulled in there. My God, everything was gold and sparkling. And I thought, whoo, sweet baby Jesus, this is like heaven. They got up there, and Laverne and Edith Tripp hosted it. And I thought that Edith Tripp was the funniest thing I ever seen in my life. I'd never heard of them. And I joined the Southern Gospel Music Guild and got involved. And then later on, I was blessed to be on the board with you, Arthur, at the Southern Gospel Music Association. And I'm more of a fan than I ever was a singer. You know, I love the groups, and I love the music. There's not one group out there that I don't love. I mean, I just love them. And that Southern Gospel Music Association gave me an opportunity to be a part of that. And I was sitting next to an Arthur Rice that I didn't even know who he was, you know. And then I found out that he was all that in a bag of chips. And there was a Jerry Goff and Maurice Templeton and Les Beasley, you know, all of them. And it was just like I died and gone to heaven. And I absolutely love this music. I would give every dime that I've got to see this music continue. I just love it that much.
Earl, you know, what you got, Arthur, real quick? I'm sorry.
That's awesome. I love it. I love this story. It's great.
You know, I love it because you're so transparent, Earl, and so honest about everything. But, you know, even in the triumphs, and I say this for those artists out there that are listening and said, man, he's been lucky. God showed him favor. Earl's went through trying times also. Have you not? I mean, you can share as much or as little as you want, but, you know, things ain't always been perfect for Earl here either.
You know, I told my group, I said, now I'm going to tell you something. We're going to work hard, and we're going to do our best. The scripture tells us to show ourselves friendly. And so when we started, of course, I was traveling in an old Cadillac Sedan DeVille, and I put sound equipment and cassettes and stuff in that thing, loaded it up, and that's how we go out singing. And at nighttime, I'm not joking you, our lights, whenever you put them on the dim, they were shining up in the trees because we were so loaded down. It looked like we was coon hunting, you know, at night. But that's how we started. And I loved the music, and I wanted to help people. I've always wanted to help people. When I was a fasting and a praying, there sitting at the waterbed there with the same music, I said, Lord, give me a servant's heart. Give me a servant's heart. And if God has ever answered a prayer, that's a prayer he answered. But there's a price to be paid with that. There really is. And but there's a group called the Crab Family. You know, there's young kids.
Yeah.
You know, them kids, the boys was teenagers and everything. And Tara and Kelly and all of them. And, oh, my Lord, I just love them. And Gerald, I love that family. And they got a number one song. And I told Becky, I said, Becky Simmons, my bookmaker, I said, I want to throw them a number one party. And she said, what? She said, the record companies usually do that. And I said, well, let them throw it. But I want to throw them a number one party. And we went down to the old spaghetti factory downtown Nashville. And that I wasn't even living in Nashville at the time. And I throw the punch bowl. and tables, and I don't know what I throwed in that old Cadillac. We headed to Nashville to the old spaghetti factory, and we threw the Crab Family a number one party for one of their songs. And I was all the time throwing parties for groups because I love to help people out. And that's one thing about it. Some people told me, they said, if you concentrated more on helping yourself and helping your family and advancing your family, you'd been a lot better off and a lot further down the food chain than where you were. And but to be honest with you, that wasn't my heart. I can't advance myself. I just can't do that. I'd rather blow somebody else's horn. And I loved all them groups, but it come with a price whenever you try to do good. You know, you get ridiculed sometimes, but it's okay. The yep. Lord, he done good too, but he got ridiculed. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I'm not saying I'm like him. I'm far from it. I strive to be like him every day, but I do love to serve and help people. That's why the Southern Gospel Music Association was such a big deal to me. Because those people come through that Hall of Fame over there, Arthur, you know how many, by the thousands they come through there, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I loved it. And I still love the Southern Gospel Music Association. I'm just not involved in any of that anymore. But it's my heart. Brittany, my daughter, she's the very air that I breathe, I've got to tell you. I love her. Love, 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 love more than anything. But right there next to her is the Southern Gospel Music stuff. And I love it. I mean, I love it.
Nice. Hey, awesome. Earl, you did something. Me and Arthur was talking about it before you came on, that nobody in their mind really thinking about radio would have ever done this. And we'll get out of here with this question here. But you sent out to radio, and this is how I got to knowing who you were. You sent out to radio the single When I Get Up to Heaven, and it was about 8 minutes long. Okay?
Yep.
I mean, what did folks say to you when you sent out an 8 minute single back in the day? Because you know why I liked it being a DJ back in the day? And you recall when I was a DJ, you came and you were on air live with me one time, and I kind of got us all in a little bit of trouble that day, but we won't go into that. But you remember that, don't you? But
anyway, I do.
But anyway, you sent out an 8 minute single. What made you do that? I mean, what was your thoughts behind that?
Well, the honest truth was, I was Eddie Crook had a record company called Morning Star Records.
Yeah.
And he had put us on his record label, and he said he had pitched a song to us, and we'd sent it out. I didn't like the song, to be honest with you. I just didn't want to record it. But he sent it. We recorded it, and lo and behold, the thing went to number five.
Yeah.
But, and you know, the further it went up the chart, the more I liked it. But anyway, we had a song that I had written called Oh My Mansion.
Yeah.
And we was calling radio stations saying, oh, this song's a coming. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's going to be wonderful about grandma and all this kind of stuff, you know. And, of course, radio was getting ready. They was anxious for that song to get there. Well, I called the month that it went out. The record company sent the single out. And I called and I said, oh, I wanted to see what you think about that song, Oh, My Mansion. They said, well, we ain't got it. I said, they said that the CD shipped. And they said, no, we've got a song here called When I Get Up to Heaven. I said, what? And they said, yeah, it's 7 minutes and 59 seconds long. I said, oh, sweet God, is that on the CD, as my single? And they said, yeah. I said, I'll call you right back. And I called the record company, and I said, we got a problem. And I said, that song was sent out there. I said, they ain't nobody going to play that. It's 8 minutes long. I said, it's such a powerful song, but they ain't nobody going to play that. And Eddie said, we sent the wrong one. When we sent that to the duplicators, they pulled the wrong song off and sent the wrong one.
Oh, I've heard a lot of singing about that land beyond the blue, of the place that Jesus promised that he's fixed for me and you. And I've heard a lot of people talk about that land to be. So I've made a little list of things I especially want to see. Oh, I want to see St. Peter when I reach that land on high. I want to ask him for the address of my mansion in the sky. Then I'll stand on the curbstone along the shining street of gold, and I'll look my mansion over. There I'll live while ages roll. Oh, when I get up to heaven, when I fall and run the race, when I finally stand in glory land, just a sinner saved. Fought and won the fight. I want to look them up and tell them that I've made it through all right. And I know they'll be so happy, for they often prayed for me that the Lord would make me just the one I ought to be. I'm intending to be present when that marriage feast is spread. Oh, I want to watch the Savior as he takes and breaks the bread. And I want to see the light that shines upon his blessed face as he lifts again those nail-scarred I'm
the book of life, in which our names are set, and he starts to read them over, going down the alphabet. When he finally comes to my name, and he reads it loud and clear,
we called every radio station there was, and then we sent them a full CD with the right single on it, but we called every radio station there was and said, don't play that 8-minute song. Don't play it. That's the wrong one. Here's the right one to play. And that song, lo and behold, it went on the Singing News chart. It only went to number 53, but I'm going to tell you something. The truth is, we sold a ton of cassettes to that song, and everywhere we went, we would sing that song, and we get on there. You know, we would what I call begging on dates, if that makes sense. Like a promoter would, he might book the Kingdom Heirs and say the Kingsmen or whoever together, you know, and we would call that promoter and say, can we please sing? We won't, don't pay us nothing. Just let us sell some cassettes and stuff. And they said, well, we don't have a lot of time. I said, well, can you give me two songs? And they said, well, yeah, we give you two songs. Well, they didn't know the one song was going to be 8 minutes long, see. And we sung that song, and the last verse says, when the angel takes the book of life in which our names are set, starts to read them over, going down the alphabet. When he finally comes to my name, reads it loud and clear, I'm going to stand up on my tiptoes, raise my hand, and shout, I'm here. And I'm telling you, whenever we sing that, the people come straight to that product table and buy almost everything we had. And it helped me. You know, it really did. It really did. And I was so blessed with that song. And I'm so glad that it, you know, it wasn't a mistake. Yeah, no. God knows exactly what he's doing. You know, sometimes we think of things that are mistakes, but God, no.
God don't make no mistakes.
He sure don't, Arthur. I'm telling you, God don't make a mistake one, and I'm so blessed. I'm blessed beyond measure. I can't even tell you how blessed I am. I wake up every morning. I'm able to put my feet on the ground, and I spend a lot of time. And I'm not trying to be the most spiritual bird in the bush, because I'm not. I'm just trying to get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I go inside my clothes closet. And I can't hardly talk about this, because I'm sorry, you can edit this out. but I can't hardly talk about it. It chokes me up. But I go inside my clothes closet, and I get on my knees, and I put my nose right down there on the carpet, and I'm praying for every one of these groups. I call them by name, and I'm asking God to open up doors for them and bless them. And I thank him for his blessings on me. That old song, I think it was Jeff Easter's daddy wrote it, "There's a roof up above me."
Yeah,
I'm so thankful for a roof up above me. I've been to my life, and here again, Darren, you can edit this out, but I'm telling you, I've been to a time in my life not long ago that all I had in my cabinet to eat was a can of Alpro dog food. That's all I had. And I've gone to the freezer and I went to everywhere looking for food. And I said, God, I will eat that dog food if that's what I've got to have. I'll do it. But I sure wish there was something else. And I got that can of dog food out and I went to open it up and something inside me said, go back to the freezer. And I went over and opened up the refrigerator freezer and I slid my ice trays over and I'll be doggone, Arthur, if there wasn't a package of hamburger meat behind them ice trays. And I said, oh, thank you, sweet God. But, you know, it's like Abraham and Isaac. God provided a ram and he was willing to do. And that's all that God asks us, Arthur, is to be willing.
Yeah.
Just be willing and be the vessel that God wants you to be. He will use you when you don't think you're usable. He will use you. And he will open up doors and take care of you. And he will bless you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. And I am blessed. I am so blessed. I do. My heart longs for Southern gospel music. I wish I could be slung up in the middle of it again because I loved it so much. But I just want to ask all your listeners to just pray for me that God will direct my steps where he'd have me be.
Real quick.
I love you guys.
Real quick before we get out of here, Earl. Real quick before we get out of here, and we got to get out of here, my friend. But what's Earl Galloway doing right now? What are you doing in life?
What am I doing? Well, right now,
yeah,
I'm sitting down here in wonderful Southwest Florida. I'm sitting out on my lanai in a lawn chair. I
ain't worried about COVID down there, are you?
No. I had got me a little. There's a man who promised me a job down here, Arthur, booking private jets. And I moved down here. He said it's 100% commission. And I moved down here and come to find out about 3 or 4 months into it, there wasn't no job to be had. He'd never booked a private jet before in his life. And during that time I had gone, and here again, you can edit this out, I don't care, but I had gone through, I didn't know what it was till the doctor told me. But I went through a nervous breakdown, and they put me on so much medication, I didn't know whether to scratch my watch or wind my tail. And I about 3 or 4 months out of my life, I cannot pull up one memory of my life because they had so messed up. But wow. I got through that. God brought me through. And so I went and got me a little old job, a servant. And at an event center where they have dinner concerts, you know. And, of course, I don't know a lot of them groups that they have in there, but I was a servant. Well, whenever old Corona thing come around, they shut it all down. And I ain't had no job. I've been sitting with no job since March the 17th. Hmm. And so I got bored one day, and I sent this thing called a paint pour. And I got me a painting thing, canvas, and I turned on my Facebook Live, and I said, y'all, I don't really know how this works, but I'm going to try it. So I started pouring. There's a lady said, I want to buy one of them paintings. And I sent her back a message. I said, honey, I don't even know what I'm doing. She said, I think it's pretty. And she said, I want it. So I said, well, where do I send it to? And she gave me an address in Northern Ireland. Yeah. Northern Ireland.
And I shipped that paint over there. And God has blessed me that I've been able to sell probably 10 or 12 of them little paintings. And, you know, God provides. He's never left his seed begging bread. So what I'm doing right now, once or twice a week, I'll do a little old painting thing. And then I do my Facebook Live, and that's about all I do. And I'm trusting the Lord, you know. I'm at peace with it, you know.
Well, Earl, I want
the King of Mayors to get down here and sing in Florida.
Well, you know.
I know.
Get them some dates. You can do anything else, Earl. Sounds like you set your mind to, can't you, Arthur? You may have to hire him as a booking agent before it's over with, Arthur. If they don't open Dollywood back up.
I'm telling you what. We sung there one time at the King of the Mayors. What was that theater? Was that the Celebration or something theater? What was it called,
yeah,
Arthur?
Something like that. I can't remember now. Whatever that big old theater was
in Dollywood. We got in there, good Lord Almighty.
Oh, Celebrity, yeah.
Yeah, Celebrity. We got in there, and when they told us that we was going to sing there, I thought, oh, sweet God, we're going to sing the empty chairs, you know, and it scared me half to death, you know, but I thought they're the King of Mayors sing there every day, and what a following they've got, and what a ministry they've got, you know, I mean, that's a ministry.
Yeah.
People get to come in and see them, and it's just so wonderful. I'm so proud of them, and Arthur, I'm not saying that to blow smoke up anybody's tail. I'm just telling you, I'm proud for you guys. What a blessing that is, and what a ministry you have, you know. It's just wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, Earl,
but that's what I'm doing, Darren.
Well, buddy, we could sit here and talk to you all day long, and or just listen to you talk to us all day long, you might say. But we appreciate you and love you, man. Thank you for sharing with us and telling everybody what's going on with Earl Galloway this day and time.
Well, I appreciate
it. Good friend, buddy.
I sit here, and I don't take this call lightly. I do not take this call lightly. I called my friends and told them, I said, Darren Sutherland approached me about doing a podcast. And I said, I don't even know what a podcast is. I said, I don't even have an iPod. I said, I don't even know what it is. I don't know how to do it. And I called old Kirk Talley up. You know, he's working up at Dillard's at West Town Mall in the Polo Factory.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, do you know what a podcast is? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I'm going to be doing one. And he said, what? I said, yeah, I'm going to be doing one. He said, please tell me you ain't singing or playing the piano. Because the truth of the matter is, I ain't a real good singer. I'm just a good blender. You know what I mean? And I am not a good piano player. I get started, and I might start in E flat. And if my mind jumps on a rabbit trail, somehow I wind up in G and don't even know how I got there.
Hey.
And I hit the wrong notes. And Kirk will comment, well, there you go, playing them fancy chords again. But I called him and I said, I'm doing something called a podcast.
Earl,
and I was like,
Earl,
yeah.
Let me stop you right there, and I'm gonna say this, okay? Don't ever knock being a blender. It worked for Les Beasley and Claude Hopper for how many years? I mean, come on, you know. Arthur, you ain't supposed to laugh at that. You know that, but. I mean,
Claude, if you're listening, Claude, we love you, and you're the best blender we ever heard.
Ah, they're good people. Earl, thank you for your time, my friend. We got to run, all righty?
Okay. I love y'all.
Love you. Appreciate it, man.
I had no vision, made some wrong decisions, living my life. The smile on my face was just a way to erase how I was feeling inside. But then Jesus came and found me, put his arms around me, and gently turned me around. Jesus got in my way, on my way. Down and lift
washed all my sin away. I'm so glad that I'm different now. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus got in my way, on my way down. I can't understand just why this man would love me enough to die on a cross just cause I was lost and needed his touch. And what would I have done if he hadn't come and turned my life around? Jesus got in my way, on my way down. He reached down and lifted me up, set my feet on the solid rock, took away all my guilt and shame. Then he washed all my sin away. I'm so glad I'm different now. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus got in my way, on my way down. I'm so glad I'm different now. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus got in my way, on my way.
SG and Pete Day, you know I was just playing around with it. I'm gonna take some heat for saying that about Les and Claude, but you know what? Here's what I'm saying. It takes somebody like Earl to fit the pieces around great singers sometimes. Wouldn't you agree? And he does the intangibles like so many great men and women in gospel music do that make up groups. And, you know,
absolutely.
His story is real. I mean,
that's great.
I mean,
great story.
We sat there for 30 minutes, Arthur. Did you even get a question in, by the way?
No. But it's okay. It was good stuff.
It was good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Next week,
we're
going to have somebody special. I don't want to announce it because every time I announce it, you know, they end up having to cancel. We have to move things around. But it's going to be episode 2 in our Where Are They Now categories. And if you want to listen to Earl and the Galloways, go back. Some great songs like When I Get Up to Heaven, the one that was 8 minutes long, Somebody Say Amen, and a lot of other great songs. Just ask Google or Alexa to play it for you, and they will. And then always ask them to play this podcast. Easy enough, Arthur?
Yep. That's right.
Hey, buddy, what's wrong with living right anyway?
Not one thing.
You've been listening to Southern Gospel News Podcast.
SGNP is excited you chose to listen today. If you'd kindly leave a remark and rating in the podcast remarks section, we surely would appreciate it. Please share with a friend or family member. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter, and our new website, SouthernGospelNewsPodcast.com.